Beard on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Mark Silverman in the building, host of Waddle and Sylvie, host of our Chicago Bears pregame show here on ESPN. Been a little while, Sylvie.
And yeah.
I think last time we were here, it was kind of like, we don't know what Justin is. We don't know what's going to happen with Justin. Now it feels like maybe we're starting to get some answers with this whole thing. So got to break that down with you, man. First things first, though, how are you?
I'm doing great. Anxious
yeah.
to kind of get clarity. You know, like you said, I think we know. But until we really know, do we know? You know what I mean?
We thought he was all in on the draft, and then he traded a fifth-round pick for a lineman.
Yesterday. Yeah,
so, right. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to do anymore.
And I hope it's not a depth piece either. You know what I mean? Like, you better be trading a fifth-round pick for the starting center. But he didn't start last year.
Yeah.
He started a bunch of games in 2022. I know they were interested in him, and they signed him to an offer sheet.
Yeah.
But I don't want I'm done trading picks for depth pieces.
Yeah.
You know, they traded a sixth, I think, last year for Feeney.
For Dan Feeney.
Who barely played.
Great mullet, though.
Great mullet, but you don't trade six-round picks for mullets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You grow mullets.
Yeah.
You grow mullets.
You grow mullets through the draft.
You grow mullets. Jones was drafted in the fifth round.
Yes.
I don't want a depth piece traded for. So look, I love polls, and we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
Got that off my chest right at the beginning.
I think it's a great place to start, because the Ryan Bates situation is interesting, because even if he is a depth piece, the concern that I think most Bears fans have is what we saw last season. Now, Nate Davis dealt with some things that were a little bit different, right? And so kind of a little more understanding on that. But Tevin Jenkins, somebody who's been injured often, who has missed four or five games in a row, has missed stretches in multiple seasons. And so you kind of sit there and go, maybe he is a depth piece, but is he a piece that can come in and spot start and keep that continuity that you've had there at the guard position versus trying to force somebody who, I mean, really hasn't played center. He's been a guard pretty much with the Bills the entire time. I hate the idea of doing what we just did with Lucas Patrick. I hate the idea of doing what we just did with Cody Whitehair, although Cody Whitehair was a little bit better at there. So I don't want to see guys swapping in from guard to now being centers.
Right. Then get a center. So like, did you just trade a fifth round pick for a swing guard? You know, like maybe his thought is that you're going to end up having three guys who start 17. Like those three guys are going to start a combined 34 games.
Right.
And they're going to be divvied up between three of them. What's three divided by 34? What is that? Do the quick math here for me. 12.
That would be
like 11.5.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's about right. No,
So like each guy starts like about like 11 games with Nate Davis's injuries.
Yes.
With Tevin Jenkins's injury.
I think you also have to understand too, right? Like this might just be an insurance piece for this season. You got him signed for 2 years here. Are they re-signing Tevin? Can you trust him? I love Tevin. I love Tevin on the field. I love what Tevin is. But the injuries to me, they scream Kyle Long, and we know what kind of great player Kyle Long was, but when he started getting hurt, he couldn't stay on the field. So you kind of have to start getting that insurance in there now. This is a guy in Ryan Bates that they at least scouted, they liked, they were willing to sign to come in and be what Nate Davis is right now, and then the Bills just ended up matching. So I think that there's maybe a little bit of future thinking with the Ryan Bates trade as well.
I think it's bad, though, if Tevin isn't here in a year, you know, like,
oh, I agree. Yeah.
You know, what we all want is Tevin Jenkins to show that he's going to be healthy this year.
Yeah.
Because that talent.
Yes.
You know, like if Tevin Jenkins isn't here, if you're not signing Tevin Jenkins, now you've taken another step back on that offensive line.
Yeah.
We like Darnell Wright.
Yes.
I think we feel good about him. You know, you need a center. We're not sure on Nate Davis. We're not sure on Tevin Jenkins. Yeah. And I think they like Braxton Jones, but are we sure on Braxton Jones?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ifs here.
Yeah.
And then if you're telling me that Tevin Jenkins isn't going to have a healthy year, and then now, Like, that could be your most talented lineman.
Yeah.
When healthy. So we need Tevin Jenkins to be healthy and to be great. Because when he plays, he can be great.
Now, here's my dream scenario with all of this. Not to say I'm out on Nate Davis. I've been somebody that says Nate Davis, he deserves the time. There's a human element to all of this, of what he went through last year. Let's see if he can bounce back. Let's see if he can get back into this. But what we saw from a dominant factor with Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright on the right side, maybe this is a move to bring in somebody, because Nate Davis can't play left guard. He literally has only been a right guard. So I'm not going to say can't, but he's never done it. Ryan Bates has. Maybe you get to a point in the season where you go, listen, we like the depth that Nate Davis brings, but Bates can play left guard. We put Tevin, both of these dogs on the right side here. I mean, they were killing people running to the right last year.
I know.
So
I know.
That's a part where, like, I'm kind of like, all right, maybe there's a dream scenario here that works out for all of us, and Nate Davis still comes away kumbaya, but sitting $10 million on the bench seems
a
little far-fetched.
It's
a little far-fetched.
It's tough. And, like, going back to what you said about Lucas Patrick, I hope there's a day where everyone's got a position.
Yes.
Versatility is cool. I want guys to be slotted in and to be great. You know, Thayer always talks about it. It's a dream. It's pretty much far-fetched in today's NFL to have a line of seven straight years where you're going to start. But I'd like a couple of years of knowing where every guy is going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tevin's going from right guard to left guard to here and there every time. So I would like to know that Nate Davis is coming back in his second year, and things have settled down for him.
Yeah.
He's got the body right. Tevin's got the body right. And everybody can that's my dream scenario. And then you draft a center, or you sign one of these free agents to step in with a rookie quarterback. I think Thayer brought up a good point. Like, if you have a rookie quarterback, I think it was Jim Miller who told us this, you have a rookie quarterback, you may want the veteran center.
I'm all for that.
So, and then now maybe you're getting somewhere. So that's where it starts up front.
Yeah. You got to get those dogs and. Listen, I love some of the names that are in there. The Jackson Powers Johnson, I would love to have him as a Bear. I think he's a 10-year starter. We had Brandon Thorne on the podcast, and he said he believes that guy's a day one starter. But that rookie combination scares me, because rookie years can break guys. It really can. Yeah, rookie years, like, you can see this development, but, like, if a guy just gets crushed his first year in the league, it's very hard for them to just be like, all right, that did happen. And then come back and just be fine. So I do agree we got to get the trenches fixed. I just, when you're going center in free agency, right, there's usually a reason they're available.
Sure.
I mean, that's a tough one. That's always my fear with this whole thing, is that going center in free agency, are you just bringing in somebody who's a body? Are you bringing in Lucas Patrick? Are you bringing in, you know, well, Cody Whitehair snapped before. Let's throw him in there. You know, like, are you rehashing that? So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I don't want Bates at center, though. That's the one thing I don't want.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so, I don't want that.
So you're trading for a guy who, what, played how many snaps last year? Like 40? He played 40 snaps last year, and he doesn't play center.
Year before started 15,
right,
though, and that's when they wanted him.
Right.
So some capability to start,
of course.
Bills had a healthy offensive line. We'll see what they end up doing, man. This whole thing now, like, with the offensive line, I'm like, let's get that figured out. I know we want the QB, and we got to talk about the QB, but if you don't get the center, the left tackle figured out, we're hashing the same conversation again.
Well, and the center was a big topic last year, and again, I don't think they did Justin right.
Yeah.
That's the other part of this. Like, you can come to the conclusion that Justin's not the answer.
Right.
But you can also come to the conclusion that they didn't do Justin right.
Right.
You know, what was the quote that Ryan said this last week, last Tuesday, was, we want to do Justin right.
We want to do right by Justin. We don't want him
right
to live
by
in
Justin.
The gray.
Yeah. Like, you could argue they have not done right by Justin.
Absolutely.
And there are, like, different nuanced points to that. And when he's got to do snap gymnastics, you know, when – He's trying to figure out pre-snap reads to begin with, and getting that mastered. But he's got in the back of his mind, the snap could go high, The snap could go low. The snap could go left. Yeah. The snap can go right. That's a whole new element that a quarterback has to deal with when he's trying to figure everything out also.
Yeah.
So that's an, like, I don't get this right.
Yes.
And I don't think it's a coincidence either, where if you look at the years when the Bears had sustained success in the Lovey years, in the mid 2000s and in the 80s, Jay Hilgenberg was drafted and he was there for a long time.
Yeah.
Their quarterback.
Yeah.
And when Olin Krutz was drafted, he was there for over a decade.
Yeah.
And those guys were leaders and they were good. And I think we devalue the center position. We always look at the tackles. We look at other positions on the field, but who touches the ball more than the quarterback or as much,
as much,
like next to the quarterback who handles the football?
Yeah.
It's the center.
Yeah.
You know, and that pressure up the middle is so important. And when you play out a shotgun these days, as much as you do, you've got to be able to get the quarterback the ball in the right spot. So he has to think less.
Yeah.
So, like, going back to the veteran part, like, if you draft a rookie, and I know maybe rookie may not be ideal, but if you do get a good rookie and you have rookie growing together,
amazing,
then you could be making beautiful music for a long time.
That's why I'm not going to lie. Like, I get like all the draft values and stuff like that. But like, when I hear people go, it would be stupid for the Bears to draft a center 9. That's stupid unless he's in there 10 years.
Right.
It's stupid unless, like, we don't have to ask this question for the next 10 years. But you could have gotten – we've got a 10-year center. Right? Like, so when I see, you know, a lot of these mock drafts, like Jackson Powers Johnson, everybody's going, oh, he's a top-level top talent. He'll probably go second round. I'm like, is he an answer? Is he who just retired yesterday? Congratulations. Is he Jason Kelce?
Right.
Because if he's Jason Kelce, I would take him with the ninth pick easily.
That's a really interesting point. It's a really interesting point. It's like what Detroit did last year. Everyone was mocking them.
Yeah.
But when the running back then in today's game is running for touchdowns in a playoff game.
Yeah.
And look, I wasn't a fan of what they did, but when he's running for touchdowns in a playoff game, then they're like, oh,
it look better. I still wouldn't do it, but it makes it look better.
It's to your point about
yeah.
if he's going to be, whether in that case a weapon or a guy who's going to solve a major issue
yeah.
for years, and you just got to get it right.
Exactly.
You've got to be right.
Bears got to get it right, and I think this is going to be a tough year as far as the pressure around everybody in the building to make sure that they get it right. And that kind of brings us to our Road to the Draft, brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. We're now on the clock here. And
by the way, I took the Sequoia on the road to the combine. I just got the brand new Toyota Sequoia.
Oh.
Brand new. I traded in the RAV4 for a year ago. I looked at the Sequoia at the auto show, and I'm like, what is this? What is this? And it was a Sequoia. So it's been a year in the making.
Yeah.
We all went in the Sequoia to the combine. So when we say let's go places, we literally
went places.
We went to the combine
yeah.
in the Sequoia, and we were looking.
You
for
can't
stuff.
Go wrong with a good running Toyota. Let's be real. It's going to run forever. Like, I'll guarantee you, when you traded in your RAV4, you were just like, I just want something different.
Well, right.
Not because like I'm having so much, like I want different. Family. I want better. Oh yeah.
I have a growing family.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trading some of the gas mileage that I was getting in the RAV4.
Yeah.
40 miles to the gallon of that hybrid to now the grow more room.
Oh yeah.
In the Sequoia.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Nothing like a little extra leg room that you don't realize you need until you're riding into work with your daughter.
Yeah.
In the background. Yeah. I got my daughter on and the side over here.
What a well-behaved girl.
She is
she's fantastic.
I've heard that girls do this a lot better than boys do. So
my kids would be running around.
What's Yurko's nicknames for them? Doesn't Yurko have nicknames?
Bucking Bronco.
Bucking Bronco.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They live up to the name, is what you're saying a little bit.
Especially Bronco. Like that would be Braxton. Yes, he's a Bronco.
So Sylvie, as we kind of look at what's going on around this team as a whole, you talk about pressure. You talk about getting this right. And we've said that a couple of times. Is Caleb Williams going to have the most pressure of any player ever brought to Chicago through the draft, being brought in that high? And possibly a first overall pick.
And the answer is a resounding yes.
Mm.
And I believe that the quarterback position now of the Chicago Bears is probably the most pressured position or thing in all of sports, not just in Chicago.
Right.
I used to say forever that the Chicago Cubs had the most pressure of any team in team sports. So the White Sox won the race. The White Sox in 2005 knocked it down 88 years. They won the marathon. So they're the winner.
Right.
After 05 or before 05 and 04, the Red Sox knocked down the curse of the Bambino. So the Red Sox get rid of their curse. The White Sox win the race in 05. And the Cubs really are the last team standing. And it goes, 95 years, 96 years. Now we're at 100 years. Now we're at 108 years. And every year that the Cubs are in the playoffs, you're being asked, is this the year? Can you guys do it? But what happens if you guys get down? Like, are you guys going to fail again?
Yeah.
Like, it's always...
Are you going to feel the pressure?
Yeah. It's always about the pressure. It's always about failing. And it's always the fan base. What's going to go wrong? Not what's going to go right. It's what's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And the Cubs finally did it. And they had to overcome down 3-1 in the World Series. And then all the stuff that hit the fan in Game 7. And so to that point, I see the similarities with the Bears quarterbacking position. Out of 104 years, it was only Sid Luckman. There's no one really who has filled the void in the modern era. It's the only quarterback position that's not thrown for 30 touchdowns and 4,000 yards.
Yes.
I compare what the Cowboys quarterback position reminds me of what it's like to be a New York Yankee.
Mm.
The Yankees will always have pressure, but the Cubs just never did it. And the Bears quarterback, we've never had it.
Right.
So now the fan base, like the Cubs fan base, the Bears fan base with Caleb or whoever they pick, it's always what's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And how Caleb's going to fail, or they're setting him up to fail. And it's just going to be, you're just going to run him out of town in 3 years.
Yeah.
And so to me, like you tell me, can you think of anything in team sports, in anything in sports that has more pressure in the modern day than being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears?
I don't think... I think what's tough is that, yes, it's going to have an immense amount of pressure. I agree with you on that. And when you look at some of the people in the past that have come in that have been picked that high, right, I don't think the pressure was the same. I think Derek was welcomed with open arms. And basketball is such a different sport. It's like, listen, if you dominate so well at the college level, it usually translates for the most part in some way in to the pros in basketball, right? Like you may not be what you were in college, but you're going to have some level of career. I think when you look at what Bedard's going through, there's no expectations on him right now. They suck, right? We know the Blackhawks suck. We know that they're going to lose. So when you talk about the quarterback position right now in Chicago, I would agree with you. There is no more pressure because of, but I think it's more so not just because we're selecting him number one overall, because if there's no Justin, there's no pressure. The pressure is we're selecting him number one overall. We have to go out there and make sure that, you know, Justin Fields may go to another team.
Sure.
Did we make the right call on that? He may do well. He may make the playoffs. Did we make the right call on that? Are we making the playoffs? You also passed on CJ Stroud last year. That pressure is more on Poles than on Caleb, if we do bring Caleb in. But Caleb has to take on the, if I don't do well, these guys get fired, we start this all over, right? So, like, I think that Caleb comes in with probably the most amount of pressure that we've ever seen in Chicago sports history outside of the Cubs winning. But I think even you would agree, kind of at the end of it, until Theo came in and turned that team around, it was almost just an expectation of like, it's probably not going to get done. I think Cubs fans went into an apathetic state.
I don't know, because in like 03, we thought it was going to get done.
Yes. Yes.
In 2003, up 3-1 against the Marlins with that pitching staff with Pryor and Wood, it was supposed to get done.
Yeah.
And it didn't get done. And it wasn't Bartman's fault.
Right.
Like, you know, that's a whole nother podcast. but it was supposed to get done. And in 04, they got better. They added Maddox. They added Derek Lee. They added Nomar. Yeah. You know, like they added stuff. It was supposed to get done.
Yeah.
And then in 08, they had the best record in baseball. It was supposed to get done. So they always found ways to fail. And then as a Cub fan, many were built just to think, how is it going to fail?
Right.
Yes. And I think there are a lot of Bears fans who think it's, but I think there's then the pressure within, there's the pressure of just being the quarterback of the Bears to be the first guy, one of one, to really be a superstar that we've never had. We've had good. There's been some good. Like Cutler was good at times. You know, McMahon was good when he was healthy. There was some good, but there's never been great. There's never been a superstar. And then there's the pressure of what you talked about with punting on Justin Fields. We wouldn't be punting on Justin Fields if we had only the 9th pick, yeah, or if you had the 15th pick. And then there's the fact that you're passing up on what you could get for the number one pick. All the different picks that you could get doing the Carolina trade all over again and stockpiling all of that. So I just think that this is the most pressurized spot in all of sports today.
And I'll throw some PTSD in there as well, right? We've been in this position before. We've had the pick of the litter for quarterbacks before.
Sure.
Two of them are really good. Well, Deshaun, you're doing a little, calm down. Stay right. Face down on the massage table. Outside of that, I mean, like, calm down there, bud. Heal up, get back on the field, do your thing. But you passed on two really good quarterbacks. That's the PTSD as well of, okay, we've been in this position. We've made our selection. And it was the worst of the three,
yep,
by far.
You had a 66.6% chance of getting it right by just throwing a dart.
By just throwing a dart.
Right.
By just literally going one eye. And it was like the story that goes with it, right? It's like, okay, Deshaun Watson wins the national championship right. That year.
Most proven guy.
Right? Okay, you pass on Pat Mahomes. I can live. I know a lot of Bears fans can't. I can live with passing on Pat Mahomes.
We always
one do. Guy figured it out.
Right.
He got it right. One guy got it right. And unfortunately, right, the guy that was mainly a part of that was Nagy as well. Right? But he got it right. But on the flip side of that, you watched a guy win a national championship. You watched a guy go out there and dominate the best defense in football at that time, to the point where we kept having the dumb conversation every year of, well, do you think they could beat the worst NFL team in football?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we kept doing things like that. And because he pulled up in a Toyota Corolla to a dinner when Ryan Pace had a hoodie on at a football game.
And the Sun
Bowl. We went with him.
And they put so much so much impact on the Sun Bowl, too. Yeah. You know, the reservation under Jim McMahon, the Sun Bowl comeback in which they lost, too. Yes. And not, like we always said, if you err, you need to err on the side of Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
The proven commodity.
And so I think some of that goes into this whole thing as well with a lot of Bears fans. We're like, that pressure on Caleb is going to be the pressure of what the Bears have done in the past with guys like Mitch. You seem to miss on CJ Stroud, even though I don't believe you were evaluating quarterbacks that year. So right. I'm fine with that one. But like, so much is on this young man's shoulder. It is the history of the Chicago Bears on his shoulders if you draft him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the way he's handled it so far, it looks like he could be made for this.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I think Justin was made for it from a mental standpoint, as far as the way he's done. I think he's handled the pressure well.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. I wanted him to play better. I wanted him to process better, throw from the pocket better. Like the eyes downfield, comparison, where Baldy just came out with that video. Like, Caleb's always got the eyes downfield.
Yeah. And Justin had to develop to that point.
Yeah.
He was I'll take off. But I think that's the tough part of all of this, right? Where you kind of say, okay, did you develop him to a point where now he's going to go? Is this Bobby Portis? Right. We always said we could find another Bobby Portis. We can't find another him. Like, he's really, really good for someone else who's right up the street. Like, I think that is, and I'm not saying you don't make the attempt because of fear. Like, if you do all your evaluation and you believe Caleb is Patrick Williams, you take Caleb.
I think like a better comp is, because Portis is still a role guy, like Markkanen may be better, because like Markkanen is more of a guy like you picked to be a cornerstone, and then you just didn't develop him right. And then the new regime who came in, like this new regime, you're not our guy.
Yeah.
and then he got to, it wasn't his first team, but he got to another team, and now he's blossomed.
Yeah.
And I'm nervous about that, but you have to make, Ryan Poles can't be nervous about it. Ryan Poles has to make his evaluation, and he has to be set with it, and he has to go with it.
I guess here's the thing, right? Are we setting Caleb up for another one of the situations that we just put, that we say now are the excuses that for Justin Fields, right? Oh, the offensive line isn't good enough, so that's an excuse. He's got receivers with the least amount of separation outside of DJ Moore. Oh, that's an excuse, right? Like, how do you build around this young man? That's the question. I think it's not, I would almost say for a lot of fans, it's not what's the next step. It's, okay, what's the step that makes this step right?
Sure.
Because
it's always,
a part of it. Yeah, I still look at this team and go, okay, where am I getting center? I don't trust Braxton Jones. I don't know if they do or not, but I definitely don't trust Braxton Jones in pass pro. Who's catching footballs opposite of DJ Moore, right? Like, it's the steps after this that I think a lot of Bears fans are afraid of, because I think there's probably a couple quarterbacks that the Bears have brought in that you were like, all right, this guy might be able to play, right? And then you go, okay, what happened? Why did this fall off of a cliff? Jay Cutler, to me, I think Jay Cutler could play football. The problem for Jay Cutler was his left side gave up 40 sacks a year.
Jamarcus Webb.
And then
he was seeing ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah, and look, and like, there's going to be a segment of Bears fans too who are going to want to jump down his throat as soon as things go wrong. Again, and don't forget, we gave Justin time to, and said he's got to have more.
Yeah.
I was always a Justin guy. I didn't come to my conclusion until like midway through this season. So look, in his first year, there's going to be growing pains.
Yeah.
There always is. I said the same thing. You better buckle up, because when I was demanding the Bears to play Justin Fields early.
Day one, yeah.
Because I know that a lot of people didn't want it because they didn't think he was ready. But what I didn't like the way the Bears did with Andy Dalton was they installed an Andy Dalton offense, meaning they didn't give Justin many reps.
Right.
And they didn't build an offense around Justin. So that way, when Justin did come in against Cleveland, he's running an Andy Dalton offense that he's not comfortable with.
Right.
So I wanted them to put all their effort from day one into developing Justin Fields.
Because he's your future.
Because you've got to get that ball rolling.
Yeah.
You've got to put everything. I didn't want Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace to just cover their butts to win enough games with Andy Dalton for what? This wasn't the Chiefs. This wasn't Alex Smith. You weren't going to make the playoffs and be a true threat
like
they were that year. This was pure CYA mode.
Right.
You know, I wanted them to develop the guy that we saw at Ohio State, because he needed that. So there's going to be, and so what I always said about Justin was, sure, it's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. That's what it's about when you're developing a quarterback. You better buckle your seatbelt, because it's going to be nauseating at times.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to need your air sickness bag at times, because there's going to be bumps in the road with Caleb too. But hopefully at the end of it, you're going to have something great.
Does this pressure, does the pressure that comes in on Caleb this season, right? You're going to see those ups and downs. If there's more downs than up, does that affect how we view Ryan Pace or Ryan Poles, how we view Matt Eberflus, how we view Shane Waldron, to the point where we're starting the experiment over? Because I really believe you got to win. You got to win. You like, I get it, rookie guy, but you're believing that he's so much better than Justin Fields,
yeah,
that you can move on from Justin Fields. Fine. Okay. I love the decision making. Does that mean jobs are on the line this year?
And that's the billion-dollar question, not the million-dollar question, the billion-dollar question. Because if so, you're doing it again.
You're doing it all over again. That's what I'm scared of.
Doing it again.
Like the carousel.
You're giving him a quarterback's coach, a passing game coordinator, an offensive coordinator, a head coach, a culture that he's going to come into, that he's going to learn from. And then you're going to pull out the rug from him after 1 year when you had a chance to reset it all this year,
yeah,
with and line it all up. Like we were talking about a center and a quarterback together and grow together. Yeah. Like it's more important with the coach. So that better not happen. That better not happen.
It's so tough. Like if you take a major, if we see what we saw this year, right? You start your season off with a major step back. I think most of us came into this year optimistic. Okay, you figure some things out end of the year. If you start from there and you grow, we're at a good place at the end of the season. Instead, we started kind of where we were midway through the previous year. If you start another season like that, it's going to be tough to not look at the decision to keep Matt Eberflus, to not look at the – right? Because you could have reset it all.
Right.
You could have started it all over. And there's coaches out there right now, and maybe, right, like they're still out there. But there's coaches out there right now that, like, whether you like Bill Belichick or not, what he finished off with, he's Bill Belichick. He's out there, right? Like, there's options out there that you could have gone with that you would have said before all of this, right? Before Flus got a fade and a nice beard game.
Yeah, right.
Now everybody's bought in.
Takeover, yeah.
That, like, he's better than him. He's better than him. He's better than him. I think there were four or five options.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I said if Ryan Poles is open to changing Justin – I think Justin's better at his job than Matt Eberflus is better at his than Matt Eberflus is at his.
Yeah.
And the only difference is, Pat, is that Matt Eberflus is Poles' guy. Justin is not Ryan Poles' guy. So I think that's the major difference. So look, if you admit that Lucas Patrick isn't good enough, and you admit that Justin Fields isn't good enough,
yeah,
and you admit that the other side at wide receiver isn't good enough, and that we need another edge rusher because that's not good enough, and Eddie G. Jackson isn't good enough anymore.
Yeah.
If you're changing out your defensive coordinator and your offensive coordinator and all the offensive assistants, that's where I didn't understand why you didn't do a total reset.
Yeah.
So we better not be here in a year talking about doing the same mistake. When you know the team's history, I know it wasn't you who did that,
yeah,
but it's the same owner, and you knew what has happened and what has illed this franchise. So that better not be the status of this team in a year.
That is nuclear status at this point. And I think that, you know, I don't expect us to take a mountainous step back, right? I don't think that we're going to fall off a cliff here. But, right, if you come back and you've got 7 wins again and Caleb just looks okay, right, like he looks maybe a little bit better than Justin, but you're not sitting here enamored with his game, right? Like, that's a lot to just say, yep, and let's do it all again next year. Because that means that you didn't make the right decisions at so many different places.
You got to, like, to me, it's 10 wins. That's where I'm putting between 9 and 10.
I'm with you, yeah.
Because you could easily make the case that they should have won 10 last year.
Yeah.
With Bajan starting all the games that he started,
yeah,
with Justin not playing as well as a lot of people wanted him to play. They should have finished the Denver game. They should have finished the Detroit game. They should have finished the Cleveland game. I know you are what your record says, and they maybe won a couple games too that maybe they should not have. But still, it's 10. win 10.
I agree with you.
Like, nine minimum, but 10, like, you could have won 10 last year, and you're going to be better with 1-9 in cap space. And you got Montez Sweat for the full year.
Yeah.
Win 10.
I agree with you. I think that's the tough part about this. Like, there's people that are coming in and saying, well, you got to give them time. No, there's no time. There is no time. Time is now. Like, you're picking like the number one overall pick. Yeah. Time is now.
Well, look what Houston did coming off of a 2 or 3 win season. Yeah. The Bears are coming off of 7 win season. Yeah.
You cannot go backwards. I think if you go backwards, we're having me and you'll be sitting here at this time next year talking about what's the new head coach.
Right.
And what's the new OC going to bring to the game.
What did Indy have 2 years ago wins-wise? And they started Garner Minshew the bulk of the year.
Oh, they had 2 years ago. Weren't they still running through like the string of guys who were dying at that point in the NFL pretty much? Like not Matt. Was that Matt Ryan's year?
Yeah,
that was Matt Ryan 2 years ago.
That's when
Jeff Saturday
came off the get upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And they blew all those games. So remember the Minnesota game? Remember?
That's right,
And that's when they blew the game to Houston and Lovey.
Yeah.
So, like, they were a disaster. And they draft their quarterback of the future. He goes down early.
Yeah.
Garner Minshew is starting. And they're still a respectable team in the end.
Yeah.
If all these teams can be so disastrous and then be in the playoff hunt. The Bears at 7 with the first pick and a quarterback that you have high expectations for. Win me 10.
Yeah. Yeah. I need it. I agree with
you.
Beat
the Packers, damn it.
Once. Just give me one. Yeah. I'm not gonna and that's what's so funny about this. Like, everybody's at war right now on social media. I don't know if you've spent much time there.
What do you mean?
Are
you talking about like I've got some mental issues because of it?
Yo, like there is some
Ask
things
my being, therapist about it.
There are some things being thrown around social media that are wild, but it's so right. Like when you think about it, how quickly it will change if one way or the other. If Caleb goes out there and he's like, oh, the NFL is not that hard. Oh, this is what CJ was telling me about. Oh, this is, let's go. I mean, all of a sudden, every Bears fan that was diehard Justin is going to be like, hold on now. You might have me with something here. And it's going to be the opposite. If he comes in, he struggles right away. A lot of the people that are on Caleb's side of things are going to look at it, and you're going to have some that are like, well, you got to give him time. And then you're going to have some that were like, oh, we were wrong again. Like, that's why when we talk about the pressure that's on this guy, I think the first 4 games, most people made their decision on Justin Fields this year. I think a lot of people are going to feel that way about Caleb Williams early on to start his career. If he comes out struggling, people are going to be out. Or people are going to say, what's the coaching staff doing? Shane Waldron's to blame. We don't have enough wide receivers. The offensive line isn't good enough. We're going to start saying the same things all over again.
See, like I didn't make my summary on Mitch wasn't made in 17 or 18. Like, right. I had hope for him in 19. My summary on Mitch was made in early 19.
Yeah.
It was that offense 2.0 or whatever. And I'm like, oh, crap, this is offense 2.0. He can't play.
Yeah.
And then I didn't, obviously, in 21 – there was no way you can make an assumption on Justin.
Yeah.
I was very bullish on Justin.
Yeah.
22, he ran and set records, and I'm okay. Like, this is good. This is a good jumping off part. And then, like you said, maybe early on, I'm like, oh, he's not I walked into practice, and I told you, like, I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like how much he was holding the ball even against no pass rush.
Right.
And then I just started to see that in the games too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't right.
Me and J-Mac were sitting there and we were going sack.
Yeah, this isn't
sack,
right.
Sack. Cause they can't hit them. So they just kind of run past them. But then all you hear on Twitter is Justin Fields delivers a beautiful deep ball down the left side. And it's like, yeah, but he would have been sacked 6 times. And it ended up being the case, unfortunately, during the season. Let's hope we get this one right.
Yeah.
Let's hope we start to move in the right direction. That was our Toyota Road to the Draft. Toyota, let's go places Sylvie, appreciate you coming on the show. As always, man, love having you on here. Love having you guys watch and listen. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. You guys know what to do and stay tuned in with us over on ESPN 1000. For Sylvie, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Peace.